You notice when we are singing the songs, just one line, when we are praying some of our prayers, which we usually play with instrumentation, but when we just pray them, in both of these ways, you are more focused, really. So that's the idea. That's also what when someone is alone, he or they are just singing or praying it like this. Good. Please repeat after me. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna.
Jaya
Vrindavan. Today we will hear about a very important principle in Braj Bhakti. And our example will be the elderly gopis. They are married and they have children, cowherd boys mostly, and also small daughters, whom they love very much. But as you will see, in relationship to Krishna, the love is more for Krishna. Pranebhyo pyadikai priya apiparam putre mukundasya ya Snehat para saroja yokma vigalat garmasya bindo kanam, etc. Raghunath, who is introducing us to the world of Krishna by discussing all the associates of Krishna, has one thought in our life, in his mind. The thought is, by hearing about the love of the parikaras, the associates of Krishna, we sadhakas here in this world have an example to follow. So this time he bows his head down to the elderly gopis. And if you study the love of these elderly gopis, you will learn the principle of Braj Bhakti. This is what he says. I worship the foot dust of the elderly gopis who are endowed with motherly love, who most lovingly worship the sweat drops trickling from the lotus feet of Sri Mukunda, whom they consider millions of times more dear than their own sons, and who kiss his head, which is beautified by a peacock feather crown. No? They are loving Lord Mukunda so much that if they see sweat drops trickling from the lotus feet, they worship those and they consider them Mukunda so dear that they kiss him on his head. Now, as Raghunath Goswami describes these elderly gopis and their unusual love, he had the Brahma Vimohana Leela in mind. Let us quickly recall. In the Brahma Vimohana Leela, Lord Brahma had stolen the cowherd boys and Krishna had expanded himself into all the missing cowherd boys. He had copied them exactly, like life copies. Even the wrinkles in the dhotis were the same. Absolutely, it was the same. So now these manifestations of Krishna, who are absolutely identical, entered the abodes of the cowherd people. You must know, Krishna went with his cowherd boyfriends every evening out, of course, and then he returned. And when he came to the border of Nandagram, some of the cowherd boys would follow him for some more time, but most of them would say goodbye to Krishna for the night and go to their own homes. No? Sukadev Goswami describes now what happened when these Krishna cowherds, you know, the ones which Krishna expanded at the border of Nandagram, said goodbye to the Krishna and entered the abode. He is very interesting, and you have to really listen carefully. When he says, when Krishna daily returned from cowherding in the meadows with his friends, the mothers of the cowherd boys, the cowherd women, with great motherly love, gave up the household duties as soon as they heard the bugle horns. They came out on their courtyards, where they stared down the road with thirsty eyes. Now, there is the sound announcing the returning Krishna and the cowherd boys, and the mothers leave now everything they do, perhaps rolling a chapati or cleaning or taking care of their smaller children. They come out. Krishna is not alone. He is together with all his cowherd boys. But they only have eyes for Krishna, not their sons. As soon as they saw Krishna coming, the mothers ran out, held him to their chests, smelt his head, and kissed his face as their garments were moistened by tears from their eyes and milk from their breasts. Then Mother Yashoda took Krishna along inside her house, and the mothers too ecstatically took their own sons into their own houses, where they spent the night in blissful Krishna consciousness. Usually their boys would tell them what happened during the day, the adventures of Krishna. But do you know, note, when they are all coming, it's not like that the mothers turn to their sons. They turn to Krishna. I remember when we as little boy, I grew up on an island, when we returned from our, we had a day excursions to the coast, you know. And when we returned with the school bus, my mother stood there and other mothers stood there before the school, and we all little boys jumped out of the bus, and each mother ran to their own little boy and welcomed him and brushed perhaps some dust from the clothes and so on. But here, the elderly cowherd women don't have eyes for their own sons. They all smell Krishna's head, which is a sign of Vatsalya Rasa. And they take him to their chest, and their garments become wet by the tears and the milk from their breasts. And then when Mother Yashoda took Krishna in the house, then Krishna was no longer visible, and then they turned to their own sons. Now, on the day that Krishna fulfilled their desires during the Brahma Mohana Leela by assuming the forms of innumerable cows, calves, and cowherd boys, the elderly gopis came running out of the house onto their courtyards. It's like every day when they heard his flute. This time, however, they did not run quickly towards Krishna. With spread out arms, can I have please warm water? I'm very sorry. I'm sorry, though. I know this, it's dust on the vocal cords. I just have to rinse it down with hot water and then I can speak. For that time, we rest our kata, giving our worship to the dust of Vrindavan. You can all bridge over this time by seeing the scene. Everyone returns. And now there is a difference. Oh, good.
Put some more inside, please. And it's not there. Good.
Yes, 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 it works. Now, there are only Krishnas. Their sons have been stolen by Brahma and rest somewhere. And on that day, they did not run quickly towards Krishna. Krishna was there also visible with spread out arms as they were doing every day. But they took their own sons on their laps and locked them into a tight embrace, making Krishna, the supreme Brahman who had attained the forms of their sons, drink the delicious nectarian beverage of their breast milk. Then they took these Krishna sons home and gave them a massage. With fragrant oils, they bathed them, anointed their bodies with sandalwood paste, and dressed them with fine clothes and ornaments, made a protective tilak on them, fed them their meals, and laid down with them. In this way, they were drowning in an ocean of transcendental bliss by hearing from them about their day's adventure in the Goshta. Now this shows obviously that they have greater love for Krishna than their own sons. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is described how they express this love. They smell the head, they rub the body with their hands, they offer words of benedictions, they cuddle them and give instructions for the child benefits. These are the activities of parental love. The ordinary activities of fraternal and parental love consists of kissing, embracing, calling the child by name, and chastising him. So this is what the elderly gopis do. Now let us for a moment stop here and just consider, why do we love a person? This is a question. Someone will say, well, we love the person because of their noble qualities or their enchanting qualities and so on. I'm very happy with this lamp here. But is that really true? We love the person really because there is a soul inside, and that soul is lovable because it is a part of Krishna. So in some ways we love Krishna when we love others, only that we have a veil and think it's the others, not Krishna, whom we love. An example is given. All the lights which you see there on the altar, all the lights which you see on the altars of the Babas and Radhakund, all the lights which you see on the altars of different religions at the moment burning, are only burning because they have their burning power from the sun. So in all the lights, we appreciate the sun, really. Without the sun, there would be no light. Not imagine the sun would disappear, the world would be universe would become so cold it's not tolerable, and there would be no light. Light could not exist because all the light is an expansion of the sun. So in that way, when we love another person, we love Krishna. That's the idea also of paying obeisances. When I pay obeisances to anyone, I pay obeisances to Krishna, really, inside. That we learn from the fourth canto, where Shiva says, I'm in meditation, worshipping Krishna. There is no need for me to bow down to any other person like Daksha, because Daksha is included when I worship Krishna. No? This is, by the way, a great, great discovery of the Gaudiya tradition. We only love Krishna, we only search for Krishna, we only want Krishna, but in mistaken love, we isolate persons and people from Krishna, and then we are overcome by not love, but by lust. No, this is our constant story in this world. So here, the residents of Vrindavan, the elderly gopis, by showing how much they love Krishna, that they prefer Krishna to their own sons, you can see an example of Vrindavan love, of spiritual love. Does this mean that we are turning away from any human persons? No! We love them more because we feel they are part of Krishna, and we should be more respectful, more kind, more understanding, more forgiving, more caring than with any ordinary person. It's a beautiful lesson from the elderly gopis, no, in Vrindavan. What do you all think? We don't think anything, we are tired. Raghunath Goswami, this is what the Goswamis, what we owe them. Raghunath Goswami shows us in this book, Sri Sri's Vrajavilas Stava, the role models which a sadhaka tries to follow in this world. And I wanted to share his obeisances to you towards the elderly gopis. With this, my dear devotees, we will rest our katha for this night. It is was a great pleasure to talk about this. And tomorrow, I don't know what the day tomorrow brings. It will be a little adventure, but we will. We don't know if we have a morning and evening program, yes or no. It's not yet sure. It is dependent on how the day goes. Hare Krishna.